Good morning, everybody. We've got Robin Blessing with us this morning with Life on Wheels, and we're just excited to have you here. And just give us an update. I know we've heard a little bit already, but the folks on Zoom have it, so let us know what's been going on.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I love to come and share what we're doing. We are expanding. We're expanding our offices here in Montgomery. We have been donated a building on the property of St. James Methodist Church. It was formerly occupied by another group, and they left, and so we got it, and we're so thrilled. All we have to pay is our Wi-Fi and power.
Wow.
Yeah, which is amazing. Yeah. And all of our furniture, well, a lot of furniture, 5 desks and shelves and chairs and, you know, have been donated to us. So we're really excited about that. We'll be moving in, we think. I'm supposed to go do a walkthrough with them today, and then I think we'll start moving this week. Price Bishop has our furniture stored in his warehouse. They picked it up in Birmingham for us. It's just precious. So we're so thankful for that. We're also now operating in Tuscaloosa. We just started in Tuscaloosa about 11 weeks ago. There's 2 buses in Birmingham, and we're taking one of the buses in Birmingham on Thursdays over to Tuscaloosa. And we've had tremendous response from them. There's so much support. We were talking about Harry Compakis, you and I just a minute ago. His father-in-law has donated an electronic billboard in Tuscaloosa. It's got the bus on it, and Holy Spirit Catholic Church, and we're going there for a whole day to attend all their messages. That's where we find volunteers. And there's a huge, we have heard, huge Guatemalan community there, and we're really interested in being able to get in with them. And we had our first that I saw a Hispanic client last Thursday when I was there training, and she came with her daughter as a translator, and so we were thrilled to kind of break in because we know the news is spread. And then Tony Scarborough, who is with Lakewood Baptist Church, is also letting us bring the bus, so we're starting to be able to go some different places. And there's a church there, I think it's called, I want to say Lamb of God, I'm not sure, it's a Charismatic Episcopalian Church, and they're going to let us park behind their church so that we can leave the bus in Tuscaloosa and not be driving back and forth. But they are going to raise money for their own bus. Each area has their own budget and their own support. So Montgomery is, you know, y'all are supporting Montgomery greatly, and we appreciate it. And then, you know, there's Birmingham and then Tuscaloosa. So we're excited because our goal has always been to cover the state, for sure. Mm-hmm. And so by 2030, we wanted to have a bus in Huntsville, Mobile, now we've got Montgomery, Tuscaloosa, and Birmingham. So we're excited about that. It's just been amazing how God has been moving and supplying our needs as far as volunteers and workers. You know, right now, it's a really tight market for hiring people.
Yes.
And I needed some leaders in Birmingham and in Tuscaloosa, and I finally told the Lord, I said, you know, you have to put it on my face. I really can't see it. I really can. And he literally did. He wow. literally did. Y'all know Larry Chapman?
Yes.
His sister lives in Birmingham, and she called her sister-in-law and said, are you happy with what you're doing? She goes, well, he has a job. And she goes, well, don't you want to serve? And she's like, yes. And she called me and said, I've got somebody for the director of ministry development. I mean, that's not just like in your face.
Yeah.
Here in Montgomery, we are seeing, I didn't know exactly how to explain it, so I brought y'all, I just ran this printout yesterday. And what this is, you'll see it, is this is our came right off of our Epiros. Let me just explain this better. We keep all of our records in Epiros. And if you look at the very top where it says Center Activity Detail Report, the dates are the day after the working day after Roe was passed. All right, it was passed on the 23rd, so really I guess, you know, we weren't out on the 25th, so it'd be the 26th. But anyway, passed on Friday, and that's till yesterday. We have seen 963 clients. And so it hasn't slowed down. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. Now, some of them are repeats. We had unique clients as 838 total visits for 963. I'll tell you what, right now it's a little more difficult with people. What we used to say was, oh, you don't need to have an ultrasound. You don't have to hurry right now. If they were really abortion-minded, we'll tell them, you know, we're not even sure if this pregnancy will be viable, because Dr. Phillips says 25% of pregnancies just naturally miscarry. So what the girls used to say, as sonographers would say, was, you know, let's wait until 7 weeks, make sure you've got a viable pregnancy. Well, that's not what you want to say now, because of the heartbeat bill in Atlanta, and for sure in it's coming in Florida. So they just want to know if they've got a heartbeat. I'll get calls and they'll say, I need to see how far along. I need to have an ultrasound to see how far along I am. Yeah. What they're saying is, am I going to be able to go to Atlanta, or am I going to take the abortion pill? That's really what they're telling me. The abortion pill is supposed to be 10 weeks and under. And so we saw two yesterday who were really determined to have the abortion pill. Came in, and one of them was 43 years old. And she says, I'm a grandmother. I'm not having any more kids, you know. And it's if I would say to pray for, a way to pray for us would be to pray for our workers. Our workers are really encountering a lot of abortion-minded women, and it's really difficult. Mm-hmm. That's not saying that, you know, some people aren't happy to see their babies, you know, because some are. But I was telling Tom that in before all this happened, we were seeing about 20% abortion-minded women. Last month, it was 55%. And that's who's telling us. I mean, not everybody's going to tell us. That's who's just telling us, you know. So, but this will give you some of the ideas of what we're doing. We had, when you see correspondence, when look at services provided, concepts shared, we'll get into that. Correspondence is how many times we followed up with these people. Most of the time it's by text, because they don't answer their phones, or they call us back, but that's what it is. Pregnancy tests were 852, referrals, ultrasounds 732, because as you will see on another page, not of course everybody we see is a pregnant. We see, you know, negative pregnancy tests. Initial assessment pregnancy test cases, this is just what our people think or what they tell us going in. I want to show you. Okay, on the second page, we'll see pregnancy test results. So we had 127 negative, 446 positive. When you see POP, what that means is proof of pregnancy. Sometimes they'll come to us from one of our pregnancy center friends, and they'll already have done their pregnancy test. And if they do that, we don't have to do it. So that just shows that. Spiritual status. This is kind of the truth. As much as you can believe anything that they tell. Yeah. Already a believer. They say, now that could be that, you know, they go to grandma's church or, you know, whatever. Not a believer. Some of them just will tell us. Professions of faith, 60. Year to date in 2023 is 23. So we're sharing the gospel. You'll see down here where it says gospel presented. No, 358 times. That means that either they ran off the bus crying, or they, you know, before we could get to them, or they just, you know, weren't ready to hear. But we did share it 485 times.
And do y'all try to share if they're there and they're listening every time, or is
yes.
It?
Yes. But it, you know, it just depends on the situation. Sometimes it seems like it was easier during COVID to do it, and it's easier with less visitors.
Yeah.
The visitors really kind of, well, you're not going to talk about God, are you? You know, but sometimes they become believers, you know, and so, it's exciting to see, but what we do is our mission statement says we use the power of ultrasound to serve women, save babies, and share Jesus. And I always tell all the new volunteers, we do it in that order.
Right.
You don't hit them with Jesus the second they climb up the stairs, you know. But once they've had their pregnancy test and their ultrasound and their, you know, amazed at what they saw, or they aren't even pregnant. You know, our first person that ever came on the mobile unit was a negative pregnancy test,
yeah.
but she'd never heard the gospel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we always, we have a little brochure that says, may I ask you a question? And, you know, and the question is, if you were to die, do you know if you'd go to heaven? And most of them have had some kind of religious training, but they feel a lot of shame and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm on this bus, I'm pregnant, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so one of the things we say, we've got a Bible with all our little sticky things ticking right out. How would you like it if we could, you could be sure? You know, Jesus loves you. This isn't the first time he heard about this. You know what I mean? He knows it's a divine appointment. We believe for you to be here. And so we're able to share, you know, that God does love them and care for them and that, you know, they do have a, he has a plan and a purpose for their baby and for them. Well, mainly, we don't talk about babies too much in the bus. We talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's it. If you've got the mom in the mindset that, you know, she can do this,
mm-hmm.
the baby's a package deal.
Right.
You've got it. So, yeah. And so we do follow up. And a wonderful part of what has happened lately is that I started to feel kind of convicted about, oh, we had so many professions of faith, but now what? You know, yeah, what now? And so we had a pastor's luncheon. We've had several, but this past January on the 23rd, we had a pastor's luncheon at Flatline. Yes.
Wow.
And we invited, you know, all of our friends and everybody we could and talked about discipleship. Yeah, Julie could tell you about that. And since that has happened, we've been able to refer 30 girls to churches.
Oh, wow.
It has been amazing. I called Kim last night and I said, how many we referred now? She goes, we just did our 31. I was like, yes. And that means we've been able to connect with higher resources. Because it's so exciting, you know, to know that they're being mentored and followed up with and cared for, you know, not just... It's been really amazing, and so that's good. It's a lot more work for Kimberly, who's doing it for my person, than I thought it would be. Because, you know, you got to chase them down and talk to the right person at the church. But, you know, they have really gotten on board with us, and it's been wonderful. So that part is really good. Let me see here. Gospel presented, professions of faith. On the third page, you'll see how they're telling us they find out. Well, okay, let me just get back up at the top. There's supposed to be a pie chart there, but for some reason when I printed this, it didn't print. But it's the top 5 zip codes of our clients. And this usually does kind of surprise people that our top 2 zip codes are 36116 and 17. That's where the girls live who are coming to us.
Well, where is it?
It's right.
Yeah, no, where is it?
So 116 is... It's like the other side of Vaughn Road from, like, it's Vaughn Road Park area.
Okay.
And then it's out all the way to Sturbridge is 116.
Right.
Hampstead is,
you know, Hampstead. And
nice
Deer Creek. Well, I mean, I'm sure there's other, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah, but
in
general, it's not
where I went from
116. I think
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I know it goes to
Hampstead.
And then 117 is Wind Lakes and everything.
Well,
else.
I live in Woodmere and it's 17.
It's what?
17. 36117 is Woodmere.
Yes.
And
how?
Yeah.
It's like red.
This is not Westman. None of these.
I don't know what I don't know what 108
is. 08 is West Montgomery.
08 is West Montgomery. 07 is and 10 is.
That's Delray.
Yeah, I think that's not like the Delray.
I think it's 109. But,
yeah. Now, if you look at this, that's 423 out of, you know, 800 and something clients that we had, 838.
Yeah.
So the rest of them are in different places. You know, we see people in Otago County and because we, you know, in Prattville and Wetumpka.
And I heard Wetumpka is just first choice.
First choice is going to be great. First choice has... they say they're going to collaborate, but First Choice is going to take over. That's what Barbara Kay says. You know, they're going to take over first, you know, over Elmore County. Yeah, they're going to. I just went to their fundraiser, and they're going to join forces. But I think it'll really boom. And I talked to Bethany on Sunday, and they are looking for a director. And but she said all the people that had applied were from Montgomery, and she wants somebody from Elmore. And I said, well, I hate to give this up, but Allie Judah. I told them about Allie Judah. She's a pastor's wife. And I said, her last child of, I think, 7 has just graduated. And I said, Allie Judah, you've got to have to talk to her. So I believe she'd be a wonderful director. So yeah, and it's good for us to all work together, because I said to Bethany when this all came about, see, we're going every Wednesday morning to Elmore County Pregnancy Center, but actually most of the clients we were seeing were calling us. We were just telling them that they weren't really coming from the center, because the center wasn't open. They were open like 8 or 9 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's just not going to cut it. And so anyway, I told her, I said, are you still going to want to see us? She goes, we are counting on working with you. So I was like, well, yay, we still want to work with you too. So they're one of three that we go and see. We go to Wetumpka Wednesday morning. We go to Mary's Haven in Prattville Wednesday afternoon. That's in the right next door to St. Joseph's Catholic Church. And then Cope is a biggie with us, and that's on Fridays. You know, Fridays we go to Cope on Madison Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they close at noon, but we're there till 4. And we see tons of people there. Actually, y'all want to hear a happy story about an adoption?
Yeah.
That's very unusual. Mm-hmm. We offer it all the time, but it's just not much of the culture that mm-hmm. wants to hear about it. But I told you this already. Did I tell you about the one that came from Cope? I mean, I'm sorry, from First Choices? It was last Christmas time, just before, well, maybe about the beginning of December. And Bethany called me, and she said, are y'all at Cope today? And I said, yes. And it was probably about close to noon. And she said, well, we're getting ready to close. It's just me and whoever else was there. And she said, a girl came in and said that she had an appointment for an ultrasound, which wasn't true. But she said she wants one. I said, well, we're over at Cope when Madison, just send her over to us. And I called my sonographer, and I said, there's somebody coming from Cope. They said, okay, well, we got two here, but we'll fit her right in. I said, okay. And then Bethany called me back, and she said, I think she might have had an abortion, because she came to us in May, and she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. So I called back, and I said, she might be postpartum. I said, okay. But she had a mother with her. And so they came. They got on the bus. She gets in the back, and my sonographer said, oh, she called me back, and she said, she kind of came. She's 37 weeks pregnant. We're in car seat territory now. You know? I'm like, oh my goodness.
So it was the same pregnancy.
Yeah. She hadn't told her mother, didn't know. She was, I think, 17. And the mother was horrified. And they were an Indian family. And they did not want to, from India, I'm talking about, Native American. They did not want to have anything to do with anything. And so we called a doctor friend of ours, and he said, I'll see her on Monday before my regular appointment, because doctors don't want to take a new patient in 37 weeks. You know,
you're not a liability.
Yeah, and so he saw her, and then we got in touch with Agape, and Agape came and talked to her. And long story short was, well, you're able to choose the parents. You can have all those kinds of stuff. She didn't want to have anything to do with it. She had the baby on Christmas Eve, and somebody got a Christmas present.
Oh.
So we were so excited, because it was like First Choice and us and Agape and the doctor. That, you know, it's just like you have all these contacts that work together. And so it was really a happy story. That was just a great story for us.
Wow.
So, I showed you, this is how people are telling us they're finding us a lot. If you look at the middle of page 3, how they found us. You look at on the third column where it says Cope.
Yeah.
That's why I say we're really working with them a lot. We don't do classes, so this software also is good for pregnancy centers, but it doesn't apply to us. One thing that we do is we do a whole bunch of referrals. I mean, that's a huge part of what we do, is working together with other agencies. And We actually hired Mary Young to be our social services director. She was formerly the director of COPE. It was Lori Mullins, then Lori Mullins retired, and then Mary Young was an intern with us, and she was getting her master's degree from the University of Alabama. She worked with us on the bus, so she knows very well. So we recommended her. I hated to do that too. We recommended her to be the director of COPE. But when she had her second baby, then she decided to go home. And Dana, our sonographer, said, well, you're going to hire her, aren't you? And I said, well, there's the workers. But she does. She works from home mostly. And she is great at finding social services.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more clients we're seeing, the more needy they are, you know. And so she is great at working with different agencies, and Medicare has a huge, do you know about the MyCare program here? Have y'all heard of MyCare?
Mm-hmm.
Medicare for pregnant women now has in Montgomery, it's only in central Alabama, it's here, it's different things all over the state. They have a program where when a woman is pregnant and on Medicare, they assign a nurse to her. And that they make sure she has prenatal care. And if they don't do it, they don't pay for their delivery.
I think and I know a nurse that does that. Yes, I didn't know the name of it.
Yeah, my care. So we have had Mary arrange for the people from Medicare to come and talk to us. And, of course, they love us because we're referring everybody there, you know, that doesn't have insurance, you know. And so because the number three problem, if you look on the Alabama Department of Public Health website, Scott's, what's his last name?
Yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Sanders.
Oh, yeah, no.
Low birth weight, you know, is the number three problem in the state, and that comes from not having prenatal care. You know, these women, yes.
They don't have access.
Yeah. And so we're able to help with that. So this is some of the referrals, but if you turn the page on page four, you'll see some of the other places that we're referring people to. On the left-hand side, when you see First Choice ED, that's Earn While You Learn. Mm-hmm. Earn While You Learn classes, mm-hmm. and they have parent fathers classes. And great. We just have great collaboration with them. Medicaid.
Who's First Teacher?
First Teacher is a program where they take the kids all the way up until kindergarten. You know what I mean? It's just another program for kids. As a matter of fact, Mary Young, the one I told you about, has her children in First Teacher.
Yeah.
Because she likes to know what's going on with them. So it's amazing. So
that's amazing.
That's a great network.
We want to, and we're always looking to work with more people. Because the more we know, the more we can share. MyCare, that's the one I was just telling you about.
Mm-hmm,
today.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
ministry.
Hope Inspired Ministries,
oh,
John.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know John. Yeah, Help Me Grow is a big one. And Gift of Life too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
First Choice, they do STD and STI testing, and we get requests from that, like especially if you're at one of the universities, we'll hear that. You know what I mean? So we can refer them.
She said that's a great, has been a great open door for them too.
Yes. I mean, it just starts a relationship. That's the whole thing. The whole thing is about relationships with people.
Because, yeah, she's like, that's the kind of behavior might get them back here for a different
reason. Exactly. And so this just gives you some of the people that we are, you know, collaborating with. When you go to the middle of the page, the primary purpose of the visit is about 50-50. They either want a pregnancy test or an ultrasound. While they're waiting for Medicaid, they can't, you know, they're not seeing a doctor yet. And so we're always trying to get them right in. We can actually connect them on the bus with the forms and get them signed up for Medicaid,
mm-hmm.
you know. But a lot of times they're far enough along that they want an ultrasound so we can give them proof of pregnancy for the health department and also do an ultrasound for them.
Is there a difference in the, I guess maybe the attitude of the, or intentions of the person that they ask for pregnancy test or ultrasound? Are they more likely abortion-minded if they're just looking for pregnancy test or?
No, ultrasound's more likely to see how far. They'll tell us, I want to see how far along I am.
Okay,
you know,
so
there's a difference between, I want to see if my baby's okay,
yeah.
and I need to know how far along I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, The best thing, though, is whatever their intentions are is just showing them that baby. Right. You know, when they see it, they're always, I would say, almost 99.9% just shocked, you know, that, oh, it's got a head, it's got arms, it's got legs. I mean, you know, the words they say, it's so funny, but it really does personify that baby. But yeah, I've been getting a lot of calls, and I just need to see how far along I am.
Yeah.
What is the pregnancy test cost in a drugstore?
Oh, it's like a dollar. You know, you can go to now I don't know in a drugstore, but you can go to Family Dollar and get it for a dollar. Yeah.
And but they tagged it what 7-8 weeks?
Oh no, no,
not almost immediately, but I mean
yeah, pretty quick.
Almost detecting it's that form.
I just took a whole bag of them so I didn't think I would read it.
I mean, yeah. It's amazing that you had that thing coming for crazy guys and they just get it so readily.
I think they think that ours is going to be more weird. And they will even tell me, they'll say, well, I've taken 2 pregnancy tests and they're both positive. But see, on our bus, we have to take another one even if they, unless they've got a written proof of pregnancy from one of the pregnancy centers or an emergency room if they've had a pregnancy test but haven't really seen a doctor. Because we've got our orders, our standing orders with Dr. Phillips, we have to have a positive pregnancy test, you know. We did have our first intersex client come on the bus, which we had to look that up. You know, it was a guy who told us he had both kinds of organs. And so, yeah. And I was so proud of our nurse. She did not freak out or anything. She said, okay. But she went out. This is a Birmingham. She went out and got the security guard and got him to come on. He had to sign a confidentiality statement to get on the bus. And then she said, okay. So he went back and of course his pregnancy test was negative, you know, but she said, you know, Robin, we showed him the love of Jesus. Mm. It's just complex right now. You know, it really is. But what are we going to do? You know, so there you are. Who would have thought? You know, and even right now with our client advocates, when we started training, there was not really anybody taking the abortion pill. I mean, that was not even a word that we were using. And now more than 50% of our clients who are abortion-minded are asking for the abortion pill. That's what the one I was telling you about yesterday that was 43 years old. So she said, I'm just going to order the abortion pill. And David said, okay, well, let me tell you now what you can expect. Mm-hmm. You know, you're putting yourself in labor in your house. I'm sure she wouldn't say it like that. I said it to you. But that's exactly what you're doing.
I don't know where I heard this, but the statistic for how prone you are to hemorrhage and bleed after that is
15 out of 100 is what Dr.
Phillips.
15
out of
100. Yeah, 50%. That's scary. I mean, I don't know. Is that
to a point where you need medical care?
He said it's 15% that would need to go to the ER. Now, whether they do or not, you know, I don't know, but he said, Dr. Phillips is always in the pictures. He says, take a jug of Pepsi. You know, he says that's how much blood is involved in just a normal, you know, pregnancy. He said there's a lot of blood involved, and then if you're hemorrhaging on top of that, I mean, it's and just the pain of it. You know, your body is not ready at 9 weeks to have a baby. You know, now if you had miscarried, well, even when I worked at Baptist, they'd bring them in and give them the same pills we're talking about if they had a miscarriage. So that they can naturally deliver because it's called a fetal demise. You know, the baby was already dead. And so, because it's more dangerous to have surgery, you know, than it is to go ahead and deliver. So, and sometimes it takes them 2 days to deliver that baby. And first thing they did when they brought them in there was give them an epidural because it's painful. Well, these women are going home and then being told, you can look it up online anywhere. I mean, it says it's called an at-home abortion. And they say, take a day off work. You think? Yeah, I'll take a day off work. It's just, it's making it sound so simple. Like, it's no big deal. And it's a very big deal.
I wonder how long it's going to take for that message, even from the people who took it, to start being told and to be acknowledged and to be a problem. You know, like, who's going to be held responsible for the person who's kind of doing that? Is it the manufacturer? They don't have a doctor.
There's no doctor. The manufacturers that we're seeing on abortion pills are coming from overseas. They're coming from India. The one I actually, we had somebody bring us a package. I've got the pictures on my phone, and it was fun. And it says all over it, we need medical care, but we're shipping it to you anyway, you know. But it's the exact same.
Or the person who does, it takes it after the allotted time.
Yes.
I mean, there's no control. That's what's scary.
It is scary. And then how do you know that you really expelled everything? Mm-hmm. You know, that there's not placenta left, that you didn't, or if it was an ectopic pregnancy, that's not going to work anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't take care of an ectopic pregnancy. It's a scary proposition. It really is. And Eric Johnston, if y'all know Eric Johnston, he wrote the health right legislation, you know, that passed. Anyway, he was at this meeting that I was at last week, and he was talking about what's going on, and they're actually working on, I did not understand how they thought they were going to go after the manufacturers of pills when it's coming from overseas. And he said the way they're going to do that is through the way they're paid. Because, you know, they're paid. You're going to have to be paid through credit cards. Yeah.
Right.
He said, we're going to go after that. I was like, well, how about that?
They won't sell them if they don't get paid.
That's right. It's just like, though, I think it's really back to relationships. We have to be trustworthy and tell them the truth and not try to talk them in or out of things, but just say, this is your decision, but this is what you're looking at, you know, and that they trust us enough. We had a girl that came on. Goodness, she was 17 years old. She was a negative pregnancy test, but she'd already had an abortion and already had a pill abortion. And she said, I would never do that again. It was horrible, you know. And the pill abortion, I don't know about the imaginary abortion too, but it's just made to sound so simple, you know. Oh, just have an at-home abortion. Just take care of
it. That's the message. Like, that's somebody who did it. And, you know, it's just interesting to see how long it will take to start talking about that, even people who are abortion-minded. Mm-hmm.
Well, Julie, here's the problem. People don't talk about abortion. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's way more out in the open now, but if you go to many churches, that word is not spoken, you know. And so if you're not talking about it at all, then the methods are not talked about either.
That was my question. What are we telling people in the churches? First the gospel and Jesus, but
right.
You know, it's bold to say, this is murder. That's not nice to say that, but right. Tell the truth.
Well, yes, it is. I don't know that saying that to a woman would change your mind, but it might.
I'm talking about early in the life of a child, you know, you're teaching them the gospel. And some of these things we might need to put more focus on to let them know, okay, here are the Ten Commandments, and this is one of them in there, and what does it really mean?
You know, I have learned so much by going to churches, you know, and I have learned so much from the Catholics. If you go in their schools, they really focus on life, you know, and they say life begins at conception, and you'll go into a school, and they'll have pictures of just look like our ultrasound pictures of a baby, you know, and they'll say, this is what they look like. And yet, when I go to I went to a VBS. This was a pretty bold thing. In Prattville, they had East Memorial Church had a pro-life VBS. I was like, really? And I said,
wow.
They did. And they had pictures and everything, and they all came and toured the bus. I mean, I think they had several hundred kids that went through there. And they come through the bus, and they see the baby, and I think that's it. Just letting people know it's really life, because that's what's been hidden. And they think it's a choice. No, it's not. It's a baby. It's a baby. Let's just call it what it is. And so I think if that's taught from the beginning, you know, and I think that there's a lot of younger people now that are really jumping on board with pro-life because they see it. You know, they see that it's a baby. But, I mean, we've done a terrible job in my religion.
I don't know how we do it here in Trinity.
Well, you're supporting us. That's good.
but it leads right on to this transgender thing. I mean, life is not, you know.
It's a lot of confusion. Something that should be black and white.
Yeah, and I cannot understand how other people can, you know, this transgender thing is just blowing my mind. I just don't see how you.
And I appreciate what
education is.
The education and how Bethany is, you know, they're getting into the schools and they're allowed to talk about abstinence. So you're not even getting to that point of let's go back to making the right choice.
And know the truth.
And know the truth. And
because that's what's made us even run is because they can think whatever they want, but when you put that screen in front of them and they see that baby, you can't unsee it. You just can't. And you can't lie to yourself anymore because you've seen it. And you know, we don't always see right away on the bus their decision, but we have, I get the numbers every week. Like last week we had six undecided, which means they got off the bus still saying, I don't know if I'm going to have an abortion or not. Well, that's part of what we pray. We're praying that God brings that picture back to their mind, you know, and hearing the heartbeat. And you know, they might not tell us right away, but when we follow up, that's when we find out. You know, I went to an Earn While You Learn class. I've got my Medicaid. You know, that's what Dana did yesterday with the woman that was 43. She said, well, go ahead and apply for Medicaid anyway. Just get on the list. Just, you know. But, yeah.
Did you give them a picture?
Oh, yeah. We print it out.
They can think, wow.
And Dana usually will put, hi, Mom, hi, Dad. You know, you can put little letters. Hi, Grandma. You know,
yeah.
And they're filming it sometimes. They've got their phones. Wow. And she'll say, come on, you can film this, you know, and turn up the heartbeat. You can hear it. Mm-hmm. And so they'll be in the ultrasound room showing it to somebody like their boyfriend or mom or somebody. And go, here it is, you know. So it's really, it's powerful. It is so powerful. Pictures are powerful, you know. And so let me see here. These are at the bottom, concepts shared. This is huge. You know, we share all kinds of, this is a literature that we're giving them, or a website, or a app, you know, we have apps. When they get off, well, let me just go through here. This is just what we're doing. Cigarette smoking, you know, we've got stuff for everything. we're not trying to put them down. We're just trying to give them information, you know, that they may not have had. And so we're talking to them about their options, prenatal vitamins, sexual exposure. That's a big one, you know, especially when you're on a college campus. We have this brochure that says Your Sexual Partners, and it shows how many people you're exposing yourself by how many times. And I love to give it to young men because I will hand it to them. You know, they'll be on the bus with their girlfriends, and I'll hand it to them, and they'll go, eyes get real big. Whoa. You know, because it gets into the hundreds and thousands. Mm-hmm. You know, because everybody they've ever slept with, they're sleeping with whomever they slept with. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's scary, you know. And Dana will always say, or one of her snuggers, they'll say, what's 100% sure birth control? And they'll go, the condom. No, abstinence. Because you're talking to people who, you know, are coming to us, like, we especially at Alabama State, we'll be there and they'll say, you know, I had sex last Sunday. Can you tell me if I'm pregnant? Or, you know, they've got apps on their phone that tell them, you know, it's just a lot.
Perspective, education. I hate it. Back when I was young, in the high school, they had the abstinence film, and the whole thing was about the pictures of venereal disease.
Oh, whoa. Whoa.
Man, did that get people's attention.
I'm sure
they don't do that now, but that would get their attention.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really not sure all they tell now, but I do know that if you can teach them to value life early on, that makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Value itself.
Yeah.
But that's our problem with all the gun violence and all the other violence. Yeah. There's no value of life.
Yeah, that's a problem.
You know, Mother Teresa said that really early on. She said that was the basis of a lot. If they don't even value a baby in the womb, Why are they going to value
another
way?
You're one person.
It's a different, mindset. So it's really important that we are able to show it. We love to go and give tours, like at schools. And we don't talk about abortion at all. We put out our little box of babies that shows, you know, the difference, mm-hmm. how big they are at different stages. And we run the loops of ultrasounds. And those kids are like, wow. You know,
yeah.
It's really empowering for them to know and exciting for us to show it. Yeah. You know?
When you came last time, you talked about Comic Road and what a problem with sex trafficking is. Is that still, I mean, y'all still go out there?
Oh, yeah. We're there every Thursday. We're there from 10 to 7. 10 to 7 to 9.
It's got to be hard.
Well, where is it?
Out on Comic Road on the east side of the bypass. Pushing toward Woodmere, I guess.
What is the location of the place?
Well, Carmichael Road, you know where the cancer center is?
Yeah.
It's not on that end. It's on the other side. Where the hotels are and everything. Yeah, there's a lot of sex trafficking. Well, the reason I say that is because Clay Phillips, Dr. Phillips' brother, was a DA, and he said that was the number one sex trafficking area in Montgomery. It was right there. And Pimp said, well, prostitution, I should say, not just sex trafficking, prostitution. And we have a client that we have seen since she was 12. We saw her cope, and now we see her over there. But see, we have friends in the police department. There's a detective that's, we've got their number. That's who she specifically, that's what she does, is take care of that. But the person being trafficked has to be in agreement mm-hmm. with going to the police. And this is what they've actually told us. Oh, well, we get some food. Isn't that sad? I mean, you know, but we see them, we love them.
Yeah. But you can connect them with law enforcement if they want to.
Oh, yes. There's a whole department for that, at least a detective for that. Mm-hmm. But they've got to be willing. You know, they're not going to go pick them up if, you know, if they aren't willing to go.
So, right.
Yeah, but... Our locations are, would you like me to tell you that?
Yeah.
On Mondays and Tuesdays, we're still in the morning, 8 to 12, we're still on our lots that we used to pray on South Perry Street because we have people know we're there. Mm-hmm. One of our busy places. And we have an electric connection there. Price helped us get that so we can plug in and not have to run on our generator. You know, we can plug in. And then on Monday afternoons, during the school year, we're at Alabama State University. Right now, since school is out, we're parked on Atlanta Highway. Faulkner has let us park over there by the DMV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they own all that.
Oh, yeah.
So we park in between the Mexican restaurant and Roots. Right there on Atlanta Highway. Yeah. You see a lot of people there. And then on Tuesday afternoons, after we leave the lot, we go to Eastbrook. And park in their parking lot on Del Rey on Coliseum Boulevard. That's a good one. Wednesday morning is at Elmore County Pregnancy Center. Wednesday afternoon is Mary's Haven in Prattville. Thursday, 10 to 7, is at Ask Telemarketing on Carmichael Road, where we were talking about. And then Fridays from 9 to 4, we're at Cody. And they close at noon, but we're there till 4. And so that's what we're doing. Go, go, go. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's really, it's wonderful. I mean, God has given this to us to do,
yeah.
You know, and to be able to work with all these other ministries that are in the city, you know, because that, I think, is the greatest thing. We can collaborate with each other and work together for the common purpose,
right.
You know, and it doesn't, and same thing with churches, you know, we're able to work together and, as long as we all agree on life and the Nicene Creed, we're good.
What is y'all's annual budget?
For Montgomery, it's $385,000.
For Montgomery?
For Montgomery, uh-huh.
And what about some of the other areas, like Birmingham?
Birmingham is $531,000. Yeah, because we have two buses there. And we have to have security everywhere we go in Berlin because we don't know it. You know, yeah. Tuscaloosa, we're estimating right now about $100,000 a year for 3 days a week out. I'll tell you something that happened to us with Tuscaloosa is that there's a foundation in Houston, Texas that contacted me 2 years ago. And I put them off, if you can believe this, I put them off for a year because I said, I just can't work on Tuscaloosa until we get Birmingham somewhat working. They found us, and their main goal is to support groups that use volunteers and share the gospel. And they gave us a 5-year grant for Tuscaloosa, $300,000.
Wow.
It took so much work. I've got a call with her at 10:30, and it's over 5 years. I'm like, but the thing about this is it's so amazing. It's for operations, you know. Most people don't want to pay for operations. Oh, yeah. They want to buy the bus. You know what I mean? That's why it's so the first year's 50, the next year's 75, the next year's 125, and then I think it's 25 and 25 is how it is. So they want to support us through that. Of course, there's a lot of oversight and
right.
We have special accounts for everything, but Tuscaloosa is going to have to raise their own money for a bus. I didn't put in for them to. You have buy-in when a place gets their own bus, mm-hmm. You know. And so, but that has been a big help in Tuscaloosa because, you know, Birmingham is still a lot. And I'm reading a book just on the history of Birmingham because I just, you know, I'm not from here. I'm from El Paso, Texas. I'm coming home. I am shocked. And just the history of what has gone on. Mm-hmm. And the names I see in this book that are names on the streets mm-hmm. around here. I'm like, I just was ignorant. Mm-hmm. Still am pretty much, I think. But a girl in one of our advisory board leader told me, Robin, you need to read this book. And you'll know. I'm like, oh my goodness, yeah. Just about everything. You know, so I will say this, what I'm becoming more and more aware of is what a spiritual battle this is. I mean, you know, the enemy has been entrenched, but praise God, you know, my eyes are being opened and I've seen what God is doing here, closing the abortion clinics. And I just love driving by them and seeing it not open. You know, and it has made it harder, honestly, because we have to now search the women out. But we're finding them. You know, God is bringing them to us. And we have a prayer call every Monday morning, and we pray that God will bring us abortion-minded women. That's what we're asking for. You know, and then that God will help them make those decisions, you know, for life.
Is there still activity at that house next to the abortion clinic, the Rainbow Coalition house?
Not when I'm there. Of course, I'm not there all the time, but when I'm there, I don't, it looks pretty dead. They've taken down a lot of the signs, you know, and that abortion sign is gone for sure. Abortion now, that's gone. Remember that big abortion now sign?
Yeah.
No, that's all gone. So, and I know they're asking for money to stay open. So, you know, the sad thing is that Mia, the pink-haired lady, you know, she died. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
She died of lung cancer. And she's like 40, 40, wow. 43, 40, something like that. She died. The lady that owned the abortion. I mean, we all die, but, you know, I don't know that she, I hope she died with Jesus. I hope somebody got through to her. But June, the head of the one that was running the abortion clinic died too. She was 61, 62. I mean, you know, yeah, but God is taking care of us, thank you, Jesus. You know, and I don't wish ill on those people. They don't need to know Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm. We can move to a time of prayer. I know you sent us some things. Is there anything else in particular that we hadn't touched on that you would like for us to pray for?
Just what I said, that the heaviness of I think our volunteers, it's a lot tougher on them than it used to be. But then I have to think maybe God has prepared us, you know, we've been working now. Some of our volunteers have been with us like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they had it easy in the beginning and it was happy, happy, joy, joy, my baby. Now it's like rubber's meeting the road, you know. But really I would say that's a major thing, is to just help and encourage them to stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bubba, you want to open this up in prayer? And Tom, you want to close
sure.
this?
Okay.
Lord, I thank you for this, kind of, this morning with Robin and hear what's going on and just the impact that Life on Wheels is making in our area. Lord, it is just hard for me to believe that we, as a nation, have drifted this far down to be willing to murder people. And, you know, think it's good. But I do thank you that Roe v. Wade has changed. And, Lord, that the battle is different, but it's still a huge battle. And Life on Wheels is out there on the front lines sharing life with young people that are pregnant and going and sharing the gospel. So I just pray that we would learn how to educate our young people better. You know, number one, they need to know the word. They need to know Jesus. And Lord, they need to know why life is so important. As Alan said, life in our country is not important at all. So it begins in the womb and then with the young people, the murder, and then Lord, I'm concerned it for not long, it'll be, I want to get rid of old folks too. So, Lord, give us the strength to take a stand right here through Trinity to make a difference and to share the love of Christ, but share the truth of what's going on. So, I thank you again what's going on. I thank you for the ministry here in Montgomery and the impact it's making in Birmingham and Lord, just hearing about starting up in Tuscaloosa and this outfit that wants to support it and then Lord, reach on out further to North Alabama and South Alabama. Lord, really through this vehicle to get the truth out to people that don't know it. And Lord, the bottom line is to come to know Jesus. We just praise you and thank you for Robin and her effort and the team and the volunteers that have given their time and Lord, give them the strength and encouragement to go on and Lord, raise up more volunteers, Lord, to get involved with that. And I thank you for the board. I don't know who's on it, but I know Price is and I thank you for his involvement and Matt Phillips over the years just to be a guiding light there. So I just praise you and thank you for this time. Pray that you'll go with this ministry in Christ's name. I pray.
Father, just coming to you, just thank you for Robin and all the volunteers that are working through Life on Wheels. Know, Father, that they are coming in contact with a lot more hospital ladies and families and people that are more abortion-minded these days, and just pray, Father, that you will support them, that you will give them the strength to know what to say. Your spirit would be there with them in their conversations. And Father, that eventually your gospel would get out to all of these women and men and families that are going through pregnancies, Father. While we pray that the sanctity of life, the idea that life is precious and is valuable would be something that we give back to in these United States and in this world. And Father, everything hinges on that. That is one of the founding principles that life is valuable. And yet today I think we've come so far that life has become something that is easily thrown away and we certainly need to change that in our society today, to change the hearts of the people to know that life is valuable and that you value life. Father, we just thank you for all your many blessings that have come out of this ministry, and we pray that you will continue to support them financially in any way that we can help them. Father, bring it to our board and this church that we can volunteer, we can support financially, whatever we can do. Thank you, Father, for this time.
Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning and for Robin and for ministry and for servant's heart. Lord, we just lift up Life on Wheels. We thank you that these volunteers are just showing the love of Jesus, Lord. And that's basically all it needs to be, Lord, that people come in and they're broken and they're hurt and they're confused. And Lord, we just
thank you for these people who will just tell them the truth, Lord. And just ask them to continue to encourage them. Pray that they will persevere, Lord, and that you will bring them joy in your work. In Christ.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time and certainly agree with these prayers. We are grateful to you for the way you've blessed Life on Wheels and just opened new opportunities in Birmingham and in Tuscaloosa and even this foundation that would fund the work in Tuscaloosa. And I pray for continued expansion, just as Robin described, in Mobile and Huntsville and other parts of the state. Our culture has gone so far to in the direction of self identification and self-interest and completely turned away from any values even that were based on Christianity and your truth. And so I pray for our nation and our state and our city, that the churches would be strong and faithful witnesses to the gospel, to your truth, and that we would be active with supporting this ministry and the partnerships that are in it, and just bear witness to that, even many partnerships where churches and volunteers and so forth are this extended network. And thank you for those who are part of this. Thank you especially for Robin, those who lead Life on Wheels, and for the volunteers with it and the staff that are there. And just as Robin was describing, that in a sense it was easier in the past and grown more difficult with many more abortion-minded women just coming to find out if they need to go to Georgia or take the pill. I know that's got to be harder. And there's a hardness of heart when somebody comes in abortion-minded that's got to be dealt with. And yet we know that it's the work of your spirit, even though these counselors on the unit, as they talk with women and men, would have the words. I pray that you would equip them, that you would strengthen them, that they would be strong in their sense of purpose for you, to serve you. Lord, we pray for life. We pray for the valuation, for people to value life. Pray that you continue this ministry, even as we ask that each of us will be faithful to serve you with the blessings we have in this day. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.